Let's read the scripture together. You have heard that it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for a whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Today, we're going to, how do I put this? Sometimes people say, preacher, that's good preaching. And then sometimes say, preacher, now you're meddling. I'm probably going to meddle this morning. Because the problem is, we have a problem in our country, in our world. Jesus talks about looking at a woman lustfully. And Jesus, as he talks about, is exacting two types of problems. One, when you're trying to seek pleasure from something God didn't give you. One, of course, is by lust, by looking, thinking, pornography. The other is by, well, you know what? I've had this gal for a while, and she's sort of worn her out, so I'm going to turn her in for a better model. But I'm doing it legally. We're getting a divorce, and I'm getting a new wife, so I'm still okay, right? Not according to God. According to Jesus, a marriage covenant is supposed to be for a lifetime. Now, we understand there are exceptions. We won't get into that today. And the wonderful thing about God is if we've made a mistake in the past, God can forgive us and does forgive us when we call upon Him and ask Him to. But Jesus is coming and looking at the people, and He's saying that the very root of the problem of adultery is our hearts. Last week we talked about the fact that if we don't want trees growing in our garden, we probably shouldn't plant acorns. If you don't want something in your garden, you don't plant it there. So we shouldn't have thoughts of bitterness. We shouldn't have thoughts of evil toward other people. When it comes to adultery, yes, this isn't murder, but it's people say, well, I'm not committing adultery. I'm faithful to my wife. But I'm doing this in my heart. And Jesus said, that seed is just as bad. That seed is just as bad. Why? Because we are dissatisfied with what God has given us. And that's the root of the problem. We've been given a wife or a husband, as the case may be. And we're not satisfied. We want something more. So we do one of the two things. We satisfy ourselves by a lot of times what we have today in today's world, viewing pornography or lustful thoughts. The other is by switching it in for what they saw, a better model. The only problem is, how many have ever heard the grass is greener on the other side? Here's the thing. Old house we used to own, the grass was always greener above the septic tank. So just okay, you got a picture there. I don't have to go any further down that line. Okay. Trading it in for something better doesn't mean you get something better. Like I said, I'm not going to talk about the exceptions and all those things. We're not going to do that today. But I'm talking about the root problem we have in our hearts is we're not satisfied with what God has given us. And therefore, we're seeking satisfaction. We're seeking pleasure through some other means. And we get ourselves in trouble when we go down that path. There's all kinds of studies, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time today talking about it, but I believe I need to spend a little bit of time. Because statistics say 95% of the men in this country view pornography at some time. And 49% of all women. And that, by the way, that rate is growing. So saying it's a man problem is wrong. It's a human problem. Because we want something more than what God has given us. We want something more. By the way, you can say, well, I'm single. I'm not committing adultery. Well, here's the thing. When we look in Corinthians, the Bible says that if we're single, we're actually in a relationship with God. So if we're seeking some sort of sexual satisfaction outside of the guidelines that God has straightened up and put up, that's also still committing adultery. That's breaking a covenant. And for those people who say, it doesn't hurt anyone else, there are also statistics prove that it does. I won't get into those today, but they're out there. So let me say, it doesn't hurt anyone else. Yes, it does. Pornography helps push human slavery that's going on in our world today. The large percentage of those who are seen in pornographic movies are actually, on the internet, are actually sex slaves. Or people who are being intimidated or forced into it. By one means or another. So I'm not hurting anybody. Yes, you are. Not only that, you also hurt yourself. Because statistics say you will find less satisfaction the more you partake of this stuff. Why does God say don't do this? Because he knows it's bad for us. It's bad for us as a society. It's bad for us as individuals. Therefore, Jesus is not saying, yes, you've heard it said that if you commit adultery, you're in trouble. The reason he's saying the problem's deeper is because that deeper problem causes bigger issues in our lives than we would like to admit. And here's the thing. We start partaking in things like this, especially pornography. You may say, I would never cheat on my wife. You don't know where it might take you. Which brings us to the person we're looking at today. 2 Samuel chapter 11, starting verse number 1, it says, in the springtime, at the time when the kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men, the whole Israelite army, to they destroyed the Amorites and besieged Rahab. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed, walked around the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. She was very beautiful. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba. She came to him and slept with him. And she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, I am pregnant. We look at the story of David, and David started out, he was a good king. And some may say, well, he wasn't doing anything wrong. Actually, he was making several mistakes. And those mistakes led from one problem to another. And before anybody says, well, Bathsheba shouldn't have been bathing out in public. Actually, in ancient times, bathing on top of a roof was the only place you could get a hot bath. You put the water out and you were on top of your roof and mostly nobody saw you. Unless you built a nice, huge palace bigger than everyone else's. Oh, yeah, David just did that. So David had lifted himself up above everyone else. He had something bigger than everyone else, so he could sort of look down on the world around him. Well, that was a problem. Second problem was the time the kings were supposed to be going to war. And so David sent everybody else out, and he stayed home. He just built this really nice palace. He was king. He had competent generals. Why did he need to go out, right? He could take care of things back home and enjoy his palace. He was the king, after all. It's my right. By the way, whenever we start saying those words, a lot of times we get ourselves into trouble. David should have been out with his army. Second thing, another thing along with this line, David should have been in sympathy with his army. When the army went out to war, they were not with their wives. So David, if he was staying home, should have been like his men, saying, "I am abstaining from doing anything and looking at anything." But no, David didn't. David couldn't sleep, and he went on his balcony because he wasn't sleeping. I wonder if he was feeling guilty because he wasn't where he was supposed to belong, but that's a whole other story. We don't know. And all of a sudden, he looked over and saw Bathsheba. And here's where David made another mistake. He kept looking. He noticed and was like, "Wow, hey, that's a good-looking woman." And he kept looking. How many have ever heard the saying, "You can't keep the birds from flying over your head. You can keep them from building a nest in your hair." It's really easy for me to keep birds from building a nest in my hair. I don't have any. But here's the problem. Sometimes we're like, "Oh, I can't keep the birds from flying over my head," but we're sitting underneath the birds, where the birds roost, underneath the bird feeder. It's like, yeah, of course. It's like, "I can't help what I'm seeing." Yes, and if you're going to a nude beach, yes, you can't help, because guess what? Everybody there's nude. You're going to notice things. You're in the wrong place. David wasn't where he was supposed to be. And when he saw this, he kept looking. My wife will kick me off of this service. Years ago, back before we had a lot of filters on our web stuff, my wife decided she wanted to make a spice cake. And so she put spice cake in the web browser to look up something. Well, she got some spicy pictures, all right. I got home, she's like, "Woo, what's going on here? What?" She's freaked. It's like, "Yeah, you should have known better." She wasn't thinking along that lines. Thankfully, nowadays, we've got better browsers, can keep some of that stuff away. But even so, sometimes things will pop up, things will come up. But the problem is, are we going to keep looking, or are we going to get away? See, the problem wouldn't have been a problem if David was where he was supposed to be. But second of all, David wouldn't have had a problem if once he noticed, he's like, "Whoops, let's go over here. There's some grass growing over here. It's far better for me to look at that." But David was like, Now we laugh at it, but it's the truth. He wanted to see more. And once that got excited in him, it just took him to the next place. And then he started investigating. What's the truth about this girl? What's going on? Today's world, it's like, might be like, "Well, you know, maybe if I'm out of vacation someplace, could I do this and nobody ever know. So they start finding things out. So he investigated, he asked questions. At this point, he was told, this is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Now, there's something interesting. Uriah the Hittite was one of David's mighty men. He was one of the men that, when he was in his darkest times, fighting alone against Saul, Uriah was one of the men that was with him. He had his back when everything was bad. And he fought beside him time after time. He was one of David's right-hand men. And David should have realized, this woman belongs to a man that I trust and is my friend and has had my back. I shouldn't even be thinking this line. But what does he do? After he investigates, asks him more questions, he acted. Well, let's go and send him over here. Like, what can happen if I just bring her over here? You know, and you know, this is maybe St. Charles here, reading something in. Maybe when he first invited her over, he wasn't planning on having an affair. Yeah, right, I know. Maybe he was just thinking, I want to be able to see what she's like up close. Or at least maybe that's what he told himself. Sometimes really good, we're really good about lying to ourselves. But he acted. He brought her over. He committed the act. And then he hid it. Now, I don't know why he was thinking he was hiding it. He's the king. He asked his steward to go get somebody to bring this married woman to his house. And nobody would know that this was going on. Everybody knew. And here's the thing. We may think we hide stuff for a while, but sooner or later, we're going to get found out. The worst thing we can do in our lives when we commit a sin is hide it. Now, I don't think it'd probably be good for you to stand up today and say, hey, by the way, I've been viewing a lot of pornography and I've been sort of dissatisfied with my wife. You do that today, we're going to have to do a lot of counseling. Probably mostly between you and your wife, and then trying to explain things with the church. But hiding it is not going to work either. You need to find someone to confess it to. You need to confess it to at least to God, and find people in your life who will hold you accountable so you don't go down that path. Now for myself, and some of you know this, I have men in my life who talk to me about question one. Are you where you're supposed to be? Are you looking where you're not supposed to be looking? I've got people asking me those questions all the time. Why? So I don't end up further down this list. We like to think that this problem isn't a problem for us. It's a problem for the rest of the world. But let me tell you something. It's a real problem. We start thinking we need something more than what God has given us, and we end up in trouble. We're dissatisfied with what God has given us. Like, well, we're not able to fill in the blank. God says, I can provide for you. I can take care of you. I've given you what you need. But unfortunately, so many of us are like Adam and Eve, who when Satan came and said, you can have more. We take it, not realizing what more we get is actually destructive to us and to our families and to our communities. But David had something special. David had a gift from God. And actually, the name Nathan, who we'll talk about in just a moment, his name means gift from God. or gift of God. And I'll tell you something, it probably didn't sound like a gift of God for what happens next. But sometimes the gift from God we need is conviction. The gift from God we need is someone to say, "You're blowing it." In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, it says, "The Lord said to Nathan," or sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men of a certain town, one rich and the other poor. A rich man was very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it, grew up with him and his children. He shared his food and his drank from his cup and slept with his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come. David burned with anger against the man and say to Nathan, 'As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity.'" Of course, as we stand looking at this, we can see that Nathan was actually showing David himself. And sometimes we need somebody to come along in our lives and show us who we really are. Who can pull back the covers and see how truly despicable we're acting. David hadn't been satisfied with what he had. He had to take somebody else's. And when he heard it in the light of this parable, David saw the injustice of it and was angry. And with good reason. David was forced to see what was going on. His heart was revealed, or would be in a moment. Because it goes on and says, Nathan said to him, or said to David, "You are the man." And sometimes we need somebody in our lives to say, "You're the man. You're the woman." Sometimes the greatest gift we have is God's word. Because when we read it, it tells us where we're blowing it. It tells us you're the one who's failing. You need to do better. The scripture goes on. It says, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you, and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all of Israel and Judah. And if that would have been too little, I would have given you more." There's more to this, what Nathan's going to say, but I'm going to stop there. Oftentimes we look at God and say, "God, I don't have enough. So God, I'm going to get things my own way. I want to do things to satisfy myself my own way." But the truth is, if we go to God and say, "God, I need more," God will provide. Maybe the more you need is not what you think you need. It's something else. More satisfaction, more peace, more contentment with what you have. But God will give us the more we need if we go to Him. But if we look to ourselves to supply our own needs, to say, "God, what you've given me isn't enough, I need more." We'll end up in trouble. But God's willing to give us more if we're willing to ask. The thing is, there can be forgiveness found in God. You've done something that's not been right, you've not been faithful. God can give us forgiveness. And He will forgive. But the thing is, we don't want to just have forgiveness of our sins. We want to keep from getting in trouble in the first place. So here's three things I'm going to give you today. One, don't be in the wrong place. If you know that you have trouble browsing things you shouldn't be browsing, then guess what? Put a filter on your computer. Put something on your computer where your spouse or a close friend gets a copy of every website you go to. That'll change things in your life. If you've got to, you know, make sure the computer is turned in such a way that everybody who comes in can see what you're doing. Worst case scenario, or maybe best case scenario, you need to take that smartphone of yours and turn it into a dumb phone so you don't get in trouble. Or take that computer of yours and say, you know what, it's helpful, but it's more trouble than it's worth, and throw it out. Maybe you need to stop watching what's on Cinemax or HBO, or maybe you just need to unsubscribe from the entire service. Don't be where you're going to get in trouble. If you're an alcoholic and you cannot stop from drinking, if there's a drink put in front of you, you're going to drink it. Guess what? You don't go to a bar. And so there are places we need to stay away from. Places we don't need to be. And if we do that, we can keep ourselves from sin. Also, we can guard our hearts. Ask God to keep our hearts pure. And try to find satisfaction with what we have. And not focus on dissatisfaction. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. That's not just a song. That's a way to live so you can have a satisfied life. If you count the number of things going wrong, all you will see is the wrong, and then you will want to try to fix it. And finally, have a Nathan in your life. Have that gift of God, of someone who's willing to ask you the hard questions. Are you doing the right thing? Are you in the right place? Are you guarding your hearts? Because yes, I believe the Word of God is a great tool and God has given us to keep us straight. But guess what? God has given us the body of Christ, one another, to help each other. And if we want to live above sin, then we need to have a Nathan in our life. God wants us to keep us pure. He wants us to keep us away from sin. And in Christ alone, we can find that victory. Or, if we need to, that forgiveness. So let's sing together about that. In Christ alone. And now, Father, I ask for your blessing upon all those come out here today. Lord, be with them and help them go forth in victory over everything that may tempt them in their lives. And Lord, may each one find satisfaction in what you have given them. I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And ask all God's blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.